Speaking of Mormons, because Jesus came back from the clouds, even though he says he was going to go away and then come back in a similar fashion, but he just meant to a different continent.
Sure.
America, what are we doing? Are we the white man's religion of Christianity now? Have we westernized it so much that we've taken it even further west? We're west of west as far as the churches. Or are we just myopic in our purview? And okay, yeah, like there's some Chinese people being tortured for their faith, but you know, China's small. That doesn't mean anything. Can anything good come out of Beijing? No, clearly not. It's only America, and I know that because all of YouTube, Christian YouTube, tells me that they're English speakers. So are we still the center focus? Will New Jerusalem rise up in Georgia, or might I have to take a plane ticket over to go see God?
So this is where I am. I am on a journey right now. So there's a this is one of the things that even I would say is, you know, part of the Christian life is you're always kind of growing and learning and understanding things. And I would say there is a sense in which Christianity, I think, will continue to center around the United States for a little while. What I mean by that isn't that we are going to be the strongest Christianity in the world, nor do I think that we even export the best Christianity in the world all the time. But there is a sense in which I think the United States of America will be probably, when people think of the centers of Christianity, when people want to send their pastors in Africa to the best seminaries, they're going to still send them out to the United States. I think for a little while, but I do think that is shifting. But I'll say this along the same lines of what I said about the understanding that there are unbelievers in our churches. I would say there's a sense in which that's to be expected, because that is not because churches are doing things wrong necessarily, or not even because, I think maybe you could probably point to mistakes that the United States church has made. There's plenty of them, but there also just seems to be a cycle that kind of goes on, where just for a time, God works mightily in one particular geographical area, and then he kind of moves it along. You know, it's just a trend I've been noticing. I even have I call it the barbarians theory, where like, and it's based on this, it was a thought that I had at one point, because I was playing in the hot tub with my kids and telling them about how they are the barbarians who sacked Rome. And then I sort of realized, hey, they kind of are, because the barbarians were Germanic speaking for the most part. That's where the name barbar, because that's what our language sounded like to the very beautiful Romans. Bar, 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 bar. That's all they talk. But like this weird thing happened where after Rome was sacked by the barbarians, right, they all went back to their tribes, and eventually you find this Germanic area, the center of Europe, suddenly calling themselves the Holy Roman Empire. And so they started owning the Roman definition. It's like the barbarians who sacked Rome became the Romans. And it's such a weird thing that happened. And then with Protestantism, and that kind of all broke up everything, it kind of remained in Germany as kind of the center. Like for a long time, that's where everyone would send all their peoples to Germany, or to, especially Reformed people would send their people to Germany and to Netherlands to get the best seminary educations. But then it kind of started shifting maybe toward England a little bit. Like you got the Westminster Confession, which is kind of the greatest statement, in my opinion, the second greatest statement on theological truth ever made. The Baptists had to perfect it in 1689, but then it kind of shifted all the way over to the United States, where for a long time, the center of solid doctrinal thought has been happening in the United States. Like you just look at all the best scholars in England. Now, where do they go? Like the best biblical scholars, like the best faithful scholars, they tend to come to America. And they tend to join Ligonier ministries and things like that to become, to kind of take on. And what are they usually teaching? They're usually teaching the European and English reformational heritage. So it's this constant movement. And I suspect, and this is probably not only tied to what the church is doing, but also, not to get too political, tied to what the United States Empire is doing, that we're, I think we're in the late stages of the United States Empire. I think we're going to see a pretty significant collapse in the next 100 to 200 years. I know that sounds like I'm hedging my bets so much, 100 to 200 years, but I'm not an expert. I couldn't give you a date. And even if I could, I wouldn't want to, but but it's still a relatively short while in the history of the world. I think the United States Empire is going to be falling apart, whether it's going to be dramatic or gradual. I don't know. I'd rather it be gradual, but it could probably be dramatic. It's going to be a collapse. And with that, I think we're going to see the center of Christianity move again. And, best bet for me right now is Africa, because right now that's where conservative Christianity is flourishing. They just need to be educated. And so I think instead of bringing them all over here, we need to start sending people over there, such as what Vodi Balcom is doing with his African seminary that he started. I think we need to start sending people over there, not as missionaries, but as educators. I think that's where we are right now, is we need to stop sending missionaries to Africa and start sending educators to Africa to train the pastors to preach the word faithfully and preach sound doctrine, and then let them communicate that to their people. Let them put that in the translate it not only linguistically, but culturally to how they're going to speak to their people. I also am open to the possibility that we might see the collapse of the CCP, and I'm told that over 2,000 people a day are coming to faith in China right now, like some kind of a crazy, ridiculously high number, that the underground church is like flourishing right now. And that sounds a lot like what happened right before Rome became Christianized. and really what now the CCP, everybody's like, but CCP is an iron-fisted regime. Yeah, but that's the kind of thing you expect to see when a regime thinks it's not doing well. It starts to crack down really hard. Like, that's not what a confident regime does. And I think it's because they're losing their grip, and it's going to probably fall apart. And I wouldn't be surprised if we find China rising as a shocking new center of Christianity as a result of the fact that under persecution that they have is solidified their faith. You know, the purification by fire has been going on in that church. And I'm sure. And if the CCP collapses and we're able to get Christian educators in there, I bet they would just eat it up. Cause I've been told that what they'll do sometimes is, like, I was told a secret story actually, pretty recently actually, by a guy who, he called himself a Bible smuggler. And he said, like, they would bring he knew a guy who brought a Bible into China, and immediately he handed out the Bible to one of these guys, and they started ripping pages out and being like, okay, so I'm going to take these pages today, then we're going to trade them tomorrow. And he was like, whoa, dude, we got more Bibles. Like, you don't have to do that. We're going to give you more Bibles. But like, I think there's a hunger there that we're going to find that if, so I do daily pray for either the Christianization or the collapse of the CCP. I'm okay with either option. I'd rather they Christianize, but, you know, we'll see. I bet that might happen. I think there's a sense in which you can identify, like, when we talk about providence of God, we talk about there's sort of the primary and secondary means. That's what we would talk about a lot, theological circles. So cause, primary cause and secondary cause. Secondary cause, and you guys, you've talked about this a lot with the sure. What About Evil series, I think, mm-hmm. You talked a lot about that. Secondary causes, we can identify a lot of secondary causes as to why Christianity is collapsing in the United States and why it's not doing so well. And even what we could do to maybe revive it. I don't think it's a lost cause by any means. But it seems like for me, to my mind, the primary cause seems to be that God is just moving. God's moving the center of his work somewhere else. Part of his plan to cover the world with his glory as the waters cover the sea is occasionally moving the center of Christianity. And I wouldn't be surprised if that's what's going on right now.
And I think we see that historically, at least. I'm sure you can see it beforehand, before the Old Testament, New Testament split. But, you know, I always make the point that it seems Rome was too perfect of a time and a place for the message of the gospel to come about. You built the roads for us. Thank you.
Yeah.
We're going to take that. And all we need now is motivation to leave the center of civilization and go out. Oh, what's that? Persecution and burning of Jerusalem. Well, thank you very much. And here we go. And so, you know, we have, I'm listening to a great series on, what do we know about, where the apostles went and, Matthias, Thomas, going out to India, all the way out to India and moving the gospel, you know, to the ends of the earth, is an amazing thing. Or you have, Africa being kind of that move away because, you need a dry climate for all these works of antiquity. And if it wasn't for the Muslims coming in, you know, we might be, having different names for different cities, and we might be seeing crosses on the top of pyramids, a little bit, but it seems then like, the movement is preservation of the church and closeness to being able to reform and being able to go back to the sources and having confidence there. And then when it comes to America and the setting up of universities, obviously happened in England as well. But you have that scholarship that has been built. And so I think I can get behind you on what you're saying of maybe. Maybe the amount of people in a place like China is okay. We've got the scholarship, we've got the means, we've got the history, we've got the ad fontes, we've got the gospel ultimately primacy. Now we just need a whole bunch of people to take this to the end of the world, to the penguins in Antarctica, and to the polar bears in the Arctic. And boy, I wonder where we would find that many people.
You know. Yeah, I think it's, you know, it's a good point. I think you're right. Absolutely. And I think even the fact of the matter is even it, like you say, it even goes back further that this process that God had of setting the stage for things. And it's true. Like there's a pretty great stage being set in China. That's why I bring it up is like, as much as we want to look at the negatives, like, man, it's a large geographical center. You know, some people pointed out, like, I know some people of certain eschatological persuasions are like a lot of males being produced that could create a giant army. You know what else it could create? A giant army of pastors and missionaries. People who are not tied by family to stay in one location, but can go forth and tell the world about it. Like, that's another thing that could come out of this. Like I'm just, you know, I'm just like spitballing all these things because I'm like, I think there is kind of a stage being set, and China's a large geographical area that could cover a lot of space, and they have a large market share because you want to, whatever reasons you know, conservatives want to debate about what the reason that is. But if a Christianized China could have a huge effect on the world. I'm not a prophet. I do not have the gift of prophecy, whether I believe that continues to exist or not.
Are you a son of a prophet though?
And not a son of a prophet okay. Either. Right. So I'm not making any predictions, and I might be wrong about this. But that's a thought that I have about that, about the state of theology in America and the state of Christianity in America is it could be that God is moving on. To his center of Christianity somewhere else. But then again, as I said, I also don't think it's inevitable. I think we can do things to try and re-reach the church. I think a big project is the church planting project, I think, is a big part of that. If we do it right, there's a lot of really crappy ways of doing church planting that we've been doing. But there's, there's also a sense in which the same sort of thing happens with institutions. Keeps it, you know, the Presbyterians, they owned Princeton. The Princeton theology was a shorthand for biblical inerrantist theology, like the supremacy of God's word. That's what it meant for a long time. And then Princeton obviously went to the dogs, and now we're not, you know, now we're, then they had to move to Westminster. Yeah. And now, you know, some, maybe there's some movement away from even Westminster, and there's maybe some, a case where church planting is a great chance for a reformation or revival, because sometimes the institutional church just starts to, you know, Robert, not to get too theological or political, because you know how I don't like doing that, but the, you know, Robert Conquest's political laws, one of the things he says is like, the explanation of a complicated bureaucracy, or the best explanation for the actions of a complicated bureaucracy, is to assume that it's been taken over by its enemies. And that's what happens with institutional churches, that even if it's not taken over by its enemies, sometimes it just becomes as if that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And sometimes you just need to start new things.
Well, and not to get too eschatological, referring to,
I also hate that.
Referring to Jesus' letters to the seven churches, we see both a positive and a negative. And obviously, no matter what persuasion you are, we should read Revelation as important. Yep. Because it's book 66. And so yep. we should take it seriously and not just brush it off either way. But the, other than one church, there's always a negative, and there's a negative aspect that we're supposed to learn from. There's a negative aspect that we learn from the Pharisees, but the Pharisees also give us some good in there too. And we can't always write off, oh, you know, God, you are so lucky to have me, not an Israelite who keeps turning away and needing correction from the Assyrians. Thank you, Lord, that you have not made me like this Pharisee over here who, maybe I need to look a little bit deeper. But so maybe the giving over the institutions, I mean, that's true. Maybe the break up the division of a federal institution of wanting to consolidate power in all these different forms, wanting small churches to close down their door to give their money over to big churches. Maybe that's the lesson to break apart and split. And so America becomes the little fiefdoms of control for the better. And then you're having a not terrible a civilization of belief and power and you know, okay, the bishop in Wyoming is telling us to bow down to, you know, whatever woke stuff has survived the breakup of America. No. And so maybe that's the negative aspect that China or Africa or micro Asia could take on. The Philippines could suddenly become a Christian nation to spread the gospel.
Yeah, I agree with your assessment, obviously, about smaller is better, I think, is the thing, the lesson. I think the lesson we should have learned from the church. I'm afraid we're not learning it. There's a large sense in which I think just America's too big for anything. Like, I think the country as a whole, like, it's insane that we think that we can hold together one nation, unified around, like, what? Like, you get too far away geographically and suddenly there's just not the connections. And that's not, and I think there's a sense in which the church has just assumed that that's what they're going to do too, because we're the church of this nation. And so if you're going to be a Presbyterian church, you're going to be a Presbyterian church of the whole country of the United States. If you're going to be a Baptist church, you're going to be a Baptist church of the whole United States. If you're going to be, you know, like that, like, and even though Baptist theology is much more decentralized by nature, being congregational, still, like, man, one Southern Baptist church is supposed to oversee all of the Southern Baptist churches of the entire country. And then there's like, well, yeah, but that's why we break it up into regions. But the regions so often have to slow down and wait and go at the slow pace set to them by their overseers. And they have to keep checking with the overseeing. You know, it's just, I think there's just, there is a sense in which, yeah, it's just too big. And I think regional denominations, I think, would be far preferable.
So once Jeff Park, your co-host, is done saving Canadian and then American schools with diversification of thought and location and money, he just needs to move on the church and
that's right.
He's there. All right. All right.
Well, I think that I'm doing that work. in my humble way, by which I mean not accomplishing anything.